Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Any questions from anyone? Hare Krishna. Speak loudly because this is room's been soundproofed.
So, Bhuvan asks a question about when you realize yourself as a soul. In many scriptures, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur also tells us, Shri Karma Karaj tells us that when you realize yourself as a soul, like it's so beautiful that. All the time after that moment, you will recall that moment of realization once more and again. And Bhuvan is interested, but doesn't that mean that once you touched like this realization, you are just in and you are going forward and forward, not just coming back in order to realize again and again?
Yeah, so. The question is related to the Bhagavad Gita sloka, which is Acharjavat Pashtati Kashchidenam, the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is telling Arjuna that when you have a glimpse of yourself, we're saying soul, self, here in a synonymous way. Ascharja means astonishing. So what we have to factor in is at present, our bodily conception of the self. We've mentioned before the word atma in Sanskrit definition, which atma, we say, means soul, but or self. Sometimes atma is described as body, can be atma, because there can be many different conceptions of self. Body, mind, intellect, ego, soul. So, as Srila Guru Maharaj mentions many times, our self, our soul, is covered by layers and layers of acquired prejudice, acquired tendencies. Sanskrit word sanskar, one of its meaning is mental impressions. So if you factor in, let me say, jalaja navalakani stavara lokavinshati, the soul's evolving from the subjective evolution of the soul parallels objective evolution. The soul's transmigrating from one body to another, to another, to another in a evolving, upgrading way. it's a gradual development and unfolding of development of consciousness and unfolding and full expression of free will. But in this process, as of being in the world of exploitation, of action and reaction, we have accumulated layers of impressions of sanskara, of existence. Right? After so many lifetimes, so many impressions have been made upon the consciousness. It's like an art, they have an expression, palimpsest. So it means they had paintings, then sometimes someone made a painting over that painting, then sometimes someone made a painting over that painting, another one, another one, another one. And they can discover, they take one painting away, oh, we find another painting. Take that one, oh, there's another one beneath that, another one beneath that. The same sort of principle. But all of these mental impressions are coming, accumulated from life after life after life. So Srila Guru Maharaj calls them acquired tendencies, why we're automatically compelled to do certain things. Acquired prejudice, why we're automatically tend to think in certain ways. And with those acquired tendencies and acquired prejudices, we're born into human life, into this life, into a particular country, gender, country, national identity, social identity, historical identity. And all of that is influencing our conception of self, of who we are. So it's a rite of passage with the onset of puberty, generally, that boys and girls start thinking about, who am I? I remember being 13, going into the bathroom, looking in the mirror, starting to look very carefully at my face and wondering, you know, who am I? Who are you? What are you? Maybe I was a little extreme, but it's a rite of, so-called rite of passage. That I remember my brother, when he was in medical school, he had this one girl friend, and I had some philosophical conversations with her, and she seemed to be interested in those kind of things. But later my brother told me, he said, she's having an identity crisis. And I thought, oh, that's very good. That was considered like, she'll grow out of it. But right now she's questioning, who am I? What is the purpose? She'll get over it. I thought, well, that's what makes her interesting. If she stops asking those questions, then she's just like so many other fools. As in The Great Gatsby of Fitzgerald, Daisy Buchanan says to, when she has a daughter, she blesses the girl. She says, I hope you grow up to be a beautiful fool. inquiring. So at that point, we'll say, oh, that's a very good thing. Teenagers, they start wanting to discover themselves, who they are. And now in the modern world, they have so many avenues of expression through digital technology, like social media, to express themselves. But is it a true expression of self? Is it true self-expression? Or is it a mere expressing acquired tendencies, acquired prejudices that have accumulated lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, and most recently in this life by being born in a particular gender, in a particular country, in a particular social, economic status, educated in a particular way, born in a particular part of a country, all the things that you can, modifiers that you could add to this. Is it merely an expression of that misconceived notion of self, misconceived notion of identity? So, when Sanatan Goswami says to Mahaprabhu, Ke ami kene amai jarita pitroi, who am I? And why am I suffering from the threefold miseries? Adiatmic, adibhautik, adidevik. Self-imposed miseries, miseries due to, from others, adibhautik, other people, other living beings. Adidevik, from the environment. And he said, if I don't know who I am and why I'm suffering in this way, kemonahito hoi, can I really inquire about what's ultimately beneficial for me? So, and we can use Bhagavad Gita as an example. Part of Arjuna's dilemma is identifying with externals. So Krishna is telling him, Ascharjava Pashyati Kashyate Nam, if you'll have a glimpse of your actual self, transcending karmic circumstance, transcending relative circumstance, the time, place, circumstances of which you appear, you're born. If you have a glimpse of your actual self and its reality potential, its potential for self-expression in the permanent world, beyond transient existence, beyond karmic circumstance, you'll be astonished. So when there's a general level understanding, when you say that you allude to in the beginning, saying, when you realize your spiritual identity, that is a general statement. It's like the famous aphorism, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. It says, Atato, now is the time to inquire, for spiritual inquiry. Beginning aphorism Vedanta Sutra. It's interesting, or one of the early ones. It's a sutra, means this condensed expression, but it begins with the statement atato, meaning now inquire, now engage in spiritual inquiry. So the question arises, what do you mean now? That just the word now is implying something before that. So that now you should do this. And what is it? One meaning, being a sutra, many meanings can be extracted from there, saying, now that you've achieved human life and the evolution of the soul from one lower species to higher species, now that you've achieved human life, you can engage in this inquiry, this spiritual inquiry, and try to understand your actual identity transcending relative circumstance. So the most general sense of this spiritual discovery, notion of self as soul, soul as self, is the ascharja, wonderment, astonishment, to realize that actually my existence is beyond all of this. That's astonishing. The first glimpse that actually all of this acquired prejudice, acquired tendency, and karmic circumstance that I'm entrenched in and surrounded by, my real identity is located beyond all of this. Right? This, as Krishna tells Arjuna in the Gita. Indriyani paranyahur indriyebhya param manaha manasastu parabudhe yo budhe paratastu saha. That superior to the objective world, the objects of the senses are the senses themselves. So he's saying, superior to what is seen or observed or felt or tasted, heard, superior to that are the instruments that enable seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, smelling, feeling, etc. Right? That means the senses. Saying, but superior to the senses is the mind, which really is seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, smelling, feeling, etc., through the senses. Just as they're looking through the lens and the camera. Right? More important, or most, the camera, there's a lens, a camera, etc., but is the seer, the cameraman, the one who's seeing through the lens. Krishna's taking, so he's saying, there's what's seen, the instruments for seeing, and then we're told the mind is the sense, the seat of sense experience. So in English, you have the expression that if someone's lost their mind, expression is they've lost their senses. The implication being, if you've lost your mind, then the sense, there's nothing to register the experience. Or even without using an example about insanity, even if someone is so-called absent-minded, someone's calling their name or something, and they're absent-minded, they say, oh, I didn't hear you. I didn't hear what you said. Because if the mind is not using the senses, there's nothing there to receive what's coming through them. So he's taking us from the objective world, now we're going subtler. It's going subtler, more refined towards the subjective world. So then he says, manasastu parabudhe, superior to the mind, is the intelligence, which is the discriminating factor, right? Which is making a judgment on all that is perceived, all the sense experience of the mind. Right? Then finer, ahankar, ego, finer still is the soul plane. So in the most general sense, he's saying, whether it's Krishna in the Gita or you allude to Guru Maharaj Bhaktivinoda Thakur, say, if you can follow this type of thinking, it'll take you gradually deeper into the subtle plane of existence and you realize my soul is there, you'll be astonished. But that's the beginning. It's still general. We told Atato Brahma Jigyasa, general spiritual inquiry. Once Srila Prabhupada was saying, there's another aphorism, Ahang Brahmasmi, I am spirit. He said, but can you say Ahang Brahmasmi, Ahang Brahmasmi, Ahang Brahmasmi? It would become boring. It's a very general thing. So then we want to know, what are the specifics of spirit? So then, if we follow carefully what we're hearing, then we're told, it's not that now you've reached the spiritual plane, so no more seeing, no more hearing, no more tasting, smelling, feeling. Now I'm in the spiritual zone. No, we're told, that's the beginning of actual seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, feeling. So this whole world begins to open up. which is what Devarshi Narada is telling the Veda Vyasa in Srimad Bhagavatam. Muktir hitvanyata rupam swarupena vibhastiti. When you become liberated from bodily identity, mental, intellectual identity, when you enter the soul plane, you have a swarup, that is the location of your actual self. And there you have a form that can see, hear, touch, taste, smell, and feel, but that transcends temporal existence, that has a life to live in the spiritual domain, a life of love with Krishna. That's your possibility, your prospect. So they're not talking about repeatedly recalling in some general sense that you're spiritual by nature. That's not what they're talking about. They're talking about, in Guru Maharaj's aphorism, dive deep into reality, beginning with the general spiritual conception of self and then going into a deeper and more refined conception of self and self-expression through dedication in the land of dedication. So three planes of existence we can see: the land of exploitation, renunciation, and dedication. So it's a relief to realize I'm not a member, nor do I have a permanent place as an exploiting unit in the world of exploitation. Right? But that's more or less the neutral position, to rise above that. But so it's to rise above the negativity, but you're only in a neutral position. Then what is my potential for activity in the positive plane, which means the land of dedication? So we hear, there's the Vaikuntha world. 2.5 rasas of Vaikuntha. Right? If you read Brihad Bhagavatamritam, we go from Karma Misra Bhakti, Jnana Misra Bhakti, to Shuddha Bhakti, and ultimately to Jnana Shunya Bhakti. So we're saying devotion mixed with some karmic tendencies. Devotion mixed with some jnanic tendencies. Then pure devotion, pure devotional expression. So, you know, from the 14 levels of planetary systems, the material world, to the Viroja River, the neutral plane, to Shiva Loka, and the beginning of Vaikuntha. Dasya, Shanta Rasa, Dasya Rasa. And the beginning stages of Sakya Rasa, or friendship, and the sometimes old servitors. Going deeper, Ayodhya, Ram, Sita, Ram, Vaikuntaj Janidopara Madhupuri Tatrapi Rasotsava, then to Dwaraka, Mathura. So that's what they're talking about, is realizing the deeper, more refined conception of the self. They're not talking about revisiting some general spiritual notion of self as a impetus for they keep thinking back to that time when they realized that they were spiritual. As I told the other day, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in the end of the Sharanagati, he said, I'm taking Krishna Nam, Nama Rupa Guna Lila, out of the holy name of Krishna, some divine color appears that takes form, and there is Krishna with specific qualities, Achintya Guna Srupam, his inconceivable form of beauty, charm, and sweetness, and he takes me into his pastimes in the spiritual world. They're giving a hint, or even more than a hint, of the soul's potential. And they're saying the remembrance and exploration of that self and that self's potential and reality, that self's reality potential in the spiritual world, that's astonishing to them. Right? It's not something that's static, right? But it's something dynamic and growing. Sometimes Guru Maharaj would say, the ocean of joy is not a static ocean of joy. Right? Ocean of joy might be enough for most people, but not for Guru Maharaj. He said, no, it's not a static ocean of joy. It's an ecstatic ocean of joy, of ecstasy. Meaning there's dynamic movement. We're told, when we say, Krishna's beauty, Kandarpa Koti Kamani Avishesha Shobham. If 10 million cupids personified as one, it's trying to tell us something. And 10 million just is an arbitrary number in a sense about to tell us how extreme it is. We know the seductive charm of one cupid. How intense that can be in this world when somebody is fully under, let's just say, the extremes of lust, just one cupid. They're saying, multiply that 10 million times. And so it's giving you a hint of the what? Achintyaguna Swarupam, of the inconceivable beauty of the divine form of Krishna. And it's something, nitya navana vayamana, nova yovana. Adyam purana purusham nova yovanam cha. That he's eternally fresh, ever new, eternally fresh and beautiful. So we hear, although Krishna is inconceivably beautiful, when the Braja Gopis see him, and they are inconceivably beautiful, seeing the beauty of Krishna, drinking the beauty of Krishna through their eyes, ears, etc., they become more beautiful. Krishna, seeing their increased beauty, he becomes more beautiful. And then they become more beautiful. And there's a dynamic, eternal competition of beauty in that way. So this is what they're talking about. Not nostalgia, revisiting something from the past, but diving deep into reality, going deeper and deeper. Right? How beautiful is Krishna? Dwaraka Krishna, seeing a picture of Vrindavan Krishna in his younger days, he's thinking, how beautiful I was. Or we're told sometimes Krishna seeing his own reflection in a jeweled column becomes astonished to see the beauty of this person. He can't conceive of someone so beautiful and is thinking, who is this person who's so beautiful? I find the sentiments of Radharani awakening within me. Machchita madgata prana bhorayantas parasparam katayantas tamam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. Guru Maharaj says, when the devotees, you mentioned Guru Maharaj Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this sloka of the Gita says, when they're discussing the pastimes of Krishna, the qualities of Krishna, the divine form of Krishna, tushyanti means it's like they're eating a feast. Like the beginning sloka of the Gita Govinda, was it Vishvesha Manuranjanena Janayam Anandam Indivara Shreni Shamila Kamala Ananga Utsavam, Ananga Utsavam. Think Krishna's divine form, each part of his body looks like a festival of beauty. So when the devotees, they're drinking the beauty of Krishna with their eyes, drinking the beauty of the sound of Krishna's name and flute with their ears, inhaling the fragrance of Krishna with their noses, touching the divine form of Krishna. What are we saying? Tasting, touching. There's a whole chapter in Chaitanya Charitamritam about the divine, why prasadam has this extraordinary taste coming in connection with Krishna. So when they're feasting, let's say nectar feast for the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, everything. Right? And it's as if they're eating nectarine substances, but through all the different senses. So that's tushyanti cha. It says tushyanti cha, ramanti cha. So they're having that type of joy. And the ramanti means just like erotic pleasure. The extremes of erotic pleasure, they're also getting the spiritual parallel of that type of joy from hearing about Krishna, talking about Krishna, tasting the prasadam of Krishna. This is what it says. We think we know what Krishna consciousness is. Right? We think, well, one day I had some appreciation. Not to say you didn't, we didn't. But this Guru Maharaj is saying, this is what it's saying there. So don't impose our own idea about what they're revisiting. What they're revisiting in this sense is something dynamic, deep, growing. It's deep internal relish. Ramanti yogine, ramante, yogino anante sachidananda chidatmani. The yogi, what do they explain? Rama. Rama means pleasure. Ramante, Rama ante, the ultimate pleasure. Even we're told the yogis of this world, right? Brahmando, Bhavedesha, Chet Kuna, Brahmanando, Bhavedesha, Chet Paradha, Guni Krita, Naiti Bhakti Sukham Bodhe, Paramanu Tulamapi. So it says, Brahmananda. Just generic sadhus and yogis, they experience Brahma Ananda, the ecstasy of spirit, of realizing the spiritual nature of themselves and everything, in a generic sense. How great is it that the highest pleasure in this world, which is erotic pleasure, sexual pleasure, they, once they experience Brahmananda, they have no interest in that. Right. So, but Jamuna Charja says, Tadavadi Mamacheta Krishna Padaravinde, Nava Nava Rasa Dharma Janta Ratumasi, Tadavadi Bhatta Nari Sangamani Smaryamani, Bhavati Vikara Sushtu Nishtivinamcha. Jamuna Charja says in this one sloka, now that I'm really Nava Nava Rasa, this newer and newer nectarine taste of Krishna consciousness, tasting the form, beauty, name, etc. of Krishna, Nava Nava Rasa, it's newer and newer and fresher and sweeter and more heart-devouring. He said, if I remember somehow in my mind, if past erotic pleasure comes to my mind from the past life, he says, he makes a face, he says, and I spit at the thought. That's what he's saying. But I remember one of my god brothers many, many years ago, he said, and unfortunately, he said, every time we spit, we're thinking of sex life. The opposite of that. Right? They have tests how often people think. But here, Jamuna Acharya is saying, since I'm relishing this newer and newer taste, if that old taste Rasovarjam rasopyasya param nirsvana vartate. If I recall the past joys of material life, it's like disgusting. Right? But he's not saying that like some, the way a fanatical newcomer would. Like once a Christian preacher who was famous and broadcast, later became a famous broadcaster, he was saying in his earlier days when he was a preacher, he gave some heavy talk against sense gratification and this, that, and the, you know, and sin. And at the end of his, what do they call it? What is it? The talk?
Sermon.
Sermon, right. At the end of his sermon, and all the parishioners are there, and he said, he was like in his 20s, and some old man came up and said, "Son, I don't think you're really old enough to know a lot about sin." You know? And Baudelaire, the French poet, Fleur de Mal, The Flowers of Evil, one of his famous works, he has a section where he says, talks about kana, kamani, and pratishta. But he's saying, money, wealth, name and fame, and women. And in this, the summary of this is in the end, he said, "When I was young, I rejected all of these things, like so intensely and so vehemently." He said, "I must have really insulted them." He said, "Because now when I'm old and I'm begging them to return to me, they don't want to have anything to do with me. Because I insulted them all when I was young." So it shows that he knows something. He's got that certain je ne sais quoi. But that idea, but that when Jamunacharya says this, we shouldn't take it to be the fanatical expressions of a neophyte. Right? He's saying, "Nava nava rasa dominant." Well, I'm experiencing this deeper and deeper pleasure, relish from hearing about Krishna, meditating on his divine form, tasting the prasadam from Krishna, hearing the divine sound of his name. And the pleasure is so intense that any remembrance of past mundane pleasures is disgusting. It's a statement of fact, not wishful thinking. Or aversion being the opposite side of attraction. Not like that. So, Srila Guru Maharaj, we also saw his constantly, daily, diving deep into Krishna consciousness. This isn't something you did before. When we say Diksha Kale Bhakta Kori Atma Samarpan, Diksha Kale means at the time of initiation. So sometimes devotees will say, "Oh, I was initiated on this day at this time. And it was a year ago, or 10 years ago, or 30 years ago, or 300 years ago." Really, it says, Diksha Kale Bhakta Kori Atma Samarpan. Really, it's when you offer yourself to Krishna fully. So there are different ways of interpreting everything. So we could say from another point of view, have I really offered myself to Krishna? Right? Real devotees, they don't think that they're devotees. They think, "I've not really given myself." Guru Maharaj likes to tell that, he says, Rupa Goswami has Padyavali, collection of prayers. Raghunath Das Goswami, Stavavali, he has a collection. But in Rupa Goswami, one is given there, Kimba Padante Sloka. The one where Krishna's coming to apologize to Radharani, to touch her feet, and Radharani shrinks away saying, "What are you doing? You're There's no fault on your part. If there's any fault in this relationship, it's on my part. And she said, and what is the real shame? Although I'm famous in the world for having devotion to Krishna, and not only that, as the supreme devotee of Krishna, she says, the real tragedy is that I couldn't give myself to you. That's how she's thinking. Right? Srimati Radharani, the highest devotee of whom there is no one higher, no one has more love for Krishna. She's saying the tragedy, it's pathetic. I couldn't give myself to you. That's how she feels about that. And we'll say, well, that's not true. Why is she expressing something like this? Showing how deep is her conception of Krishna, how deep is her love for Krishna. And it's the same sort of things are expressed by Mahaprabhu. Na prema gandasti darapi me horo. I don't have a scent of the fragrance of Krishna prema, what to speak of a drop. And the point that Guru Maharaj makes by invoking these slokas, because also it says Krishna prem jambunada hema jambunada hem. Krishna prem is like the gold in the rivers of heaven. It's not a thing of this world. So he's saying, really, if you come in connection, deep connection with Krishna, or you can't live in separation. You won't be able to tolerate being separated from Krishna. If you have a real connection with Krishna and Krishna consciousness, and we're speaking from different levels and perspectives of analysis, but we need to know what the ultimate standard is. And what we're being told is, if you really come in connection with Krishna consciousness, and by extension, Krishna, you will not be able to live separated from it for a moment. You'll die in separation. It's so charming, sweet, heart devouring. Like, what do we have? I mean, I know now I'm like scaring everyone's like. But in this world, we have the parallel, the lovers and the love song, the love stories, and they're saying, I will die. I can't live without you. Right? And not to mock them, but it's a genuine sentiment where people say, they will die if they're separated from one another. And we see examples, even in this world, particularly of, there's like Romeo and Juliet on the 14-year-old level. And then we have, you'll read at least once a year on the internet, there'll be some story of some old couple. They were married for so many years and, you know, very compatible and loved each other so much. One of them dies, the other one dies. They die on the same day. As soon as one of them dies, the other one dies. Right? We have that experience here. That's what they're telling you, that Krishna is so that deeply attracted. Those who really have love for Krishna, they can't be separated for a moment. They'll have to die. So in this verse, very beautifully and mysteriously, Radharani says, the proof that I have no love for Krishna is that I'm living. I didn't die in separation. And now you're coming to touch my feet and beg forgiveness for some quarrel, lover's quarrel. But she said, but if I had any real love for you in separation from you, I would have died a long time ago. And the positive proof I have no love for you is I go on every day, day after day, showing my face to the world. That's her expression. Right? Within that, encouched within that is the mysterious truth about Krishna consciousness. It can be mined So a real devotee, they will think, I have no real appreciation for Krishna consciousness. They won't be boasting about how much they're relishing and how much appreciation they have and for how many years they've been involved, that kind of thing. Yad Vanchana Sri Lalana Charatapo, Lakshmi Devi performed austerities for lifetimes to get entrance into that plane. Braja, the Braja Gopis, where their hearts are breaking at the thought of the inconceivably soft lotus feet of Krishna touching pebbles on the in the soil of Vrindavan, that Krishna might experience some discomfort. That's intolerable to them. And that group, the leader of that group, thinks that she couldn't give herself to Krishna. Aradita, whose aradhana, method of worship, is offering herself wholesale, said, I couldn't. Considering who you are and what you are and how wonderful you are, I couldn't reciprocate properly. But that Radharani, when she led the group Braja Gopis after 100 years of separation to Kurukshetra to see Krishna, and there's a superficial level of exchange and a deep level of exchange between them. And they're recalling how Krishna sent Uddhava previously to try and give them some instructions, really to relieve the anguish of separation they were feeling, but and their little angry about these instructions, telling that this world is nothing, it's temporary, having affection for the person, places, thing in this world is, it's not good to have attachment like this. It's like teasing and telling them they should take up yoga and learn to meditate. And they express their ire at being told these things. And Guru Maharaj said very sweetly, they're saying, when you know really what we want with you, we want a family life with you. We're not yogis, we're not gyanis, we're cowgirls from Braja. And you're mercilessly teasing us in this way, and we don't appreciate it. But Guru Maharaj said, when Krishna tells them that mayi bhaktir hi bhutanam amritataya kalpate dishtya madashin matsneho bhavatinam madapana, that he says, everyone wants me. Directly or indirectly, everybody wants Krishna. Even the hedonist wants Krishna, because Krishna is the greatest pleasure. So directly or indirectly, actually everyone wants Krishna, whether they know it or not. And Krishna knows it. It's in everyone's heart. So he knows everybody wants me. And if they get me on any level, they consider themselves very fortunate, right? They hit the lottery. But then Krishna says, but I consider myself fortunate that I'm the object of the pure love and devotion that's in your hearts. So everyone else, they want me, a connection with me, and consider that their good fortune, but I consider it my good fortune that the love that's in your heart, I'm the object of the love in your hearts. And Guru Maharaj said, when Radharani heard this, then she realized, whether we're near or separated, it doesn't matter. He is always ours we own Krishna? And then she told her group, now we can go back to Vrindavan. Even to be separated. And again, the mystery of Krishna consciousness. They're now voluntarily imposing separation. But knowing in that separation, he's always with us. Everything else is a show. He's making a show of being a king in Dwarka, a show of Mathura. Actually, said, by the mercy of Vishnu, every day I go to see you. And you can think, oh, he sends his Vishnu expansion? No, Krishna's with them, the expansions in Dwarka. It's not he sends an expansion to be with them. He's always with them. The expansion is in Dwarka. The expansion is in Mathura. The expansion is in other. He can never leave Vrindavan. And Radharani and the Brajagopis even said, seeing you in the dress of a king, surrounded by so many people, and where is your flute? We don't like to see you like this. That's not our Krishna. And our Krishna has the flute, he's dressed like a cowherd boy, he's on the banks of the Jamuna, the sweet breeze is there, the flowers, the moonlight shining out. That's our Krishna. This is not our Krishna. And our Krishna never left us. So Guru said, union and separation. Ascharja bhat paschati kashtadenam. And if we'll have a glimpse of all these things we're hearing, that I've mentioned here, and what we mentioned, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and Srila Guru Maharaj, and all the everything we've heard, if we will sometimes realize that this plane we're talking about, as inconceivable as it may sound, that we have a part to play there. Our real identity is located there as an eternal loving servitor, and all this reality, potential, awaits us for a life of love and devotion with Krishna. To the degree that we realize this prospect and possibility, we'll be astonished, full of wonder and charm, and that will give us some impetus to dedicate ourselves and go deeper. Because all of this will vanish. That's not just a theistic point of view, it's a scientific view. Everything here will disintegrate. It will all be gone. But this, paratasmat tabhavonyo vyakto vyakta sanatana, jivanam sarabhuteshu, I forget the reason. Beyond this world, paratasmat tabhavonyo vyakto vyakta sanatana, with this world that's manifesting for some time and then withdrawing and manifesting again, and then withdrawing and manifesting again, and then withdrawing millions of times, that we've lived millions of times through millions of creations. When this is, there's another world that doesn't dissolve or disintegrate when this one, it's coming and going, manifesting, unmanifesting. It's permanent. And that's where your soul is located, yourself, your eternal servitor identity. Having a glimpse of that prospect is enough to excite one, to enliven one, to dedicate here and to move in the direction of that identity. But the higher devotees, they're participating in pastimes in real time. If you look carefully at what is expressed in the songs of Bhakti Vinod Thakur and his writings, you can understand he's also actually participating in the pastimes there. So Guru Maharaj would sometimes say, in summary and conclusion, that this should be enough. This is enough to bring us, he said, bring us this side and keep us this side. knowing this reality potential, this future prospect, to bring us this side and keep us this side. But we find that the cumulative effect of participating in Krishna consciousness is that these things become more real, tangible, palpable, and accessible. And when Guru Maharaj was asked once, well, first he told the man, a man wanted to ask Saraswati Thakur a question privately. So he said, two chairs were drawn in seclusion. Saraswati Thakur went to the man in the other chair and looking face to face. And Guru Maharaj is like in the bushes. And the man said, have you seen Krishna? You know. And Saraswati Thakur told me, he said, learn how to see Krishna. First, you have to learn how to see Krishna. Develop the eyes to see Krishna. Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena santaksa deva hridayeshu vilokayanti yang shama sundaram achintya guna swarupam. It's all there. It's all there. It's spelled out clearly. Get the eye. What? Premanjana charita. When your eyes, when the cataract is eye of ignorance is removed? Good. Premanjana, and then the ointment of prem, when the eye is seeing, is saturated with love and affection for Krishna. Then the achintya guna srup, what was the inconceivable form of Krishna, will still be inconceivable, but you'll be seeing it. He said, first you learn how to see. But anyway, so when some devotee, he said to Guru Maharaj, I know we say there are those, anyone who says they've seen Krishna, we say they're bogus. And I understand that. It's not so cheap, and anyone can say, I've seen, I have love for God, I love everyone, I love Krishna, I've seen. He said, but you're not one of those bogus people. And if you would just tell me, that, I mean, whatever you'll say, I'll believe, and that'll give me so much encouragement. And Guru Maharaj said, I do not have the audacity to say that I have seen Krishna. He said, but I will say this. We hear in Sadhu Shastra Guru Vaishnava and the writings of the great Acharyas and the Goswamis, they say that in the search for Sri Krishna, on the way to Krishna, there are certain signs and symptoms on that way that indicate you're going in the right direction. And Guru Maharaj said, and I'm seeing those signs and symptoms. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.